What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast. I am so excited to be here with you today. It has been a crazy week, and I am just lucky to be here today and be on the live stream. So thank you so much for your patience. Had a lot of stuff going on. I won't get into it. But again, very, very glad to be back here for episode 405 of the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the wisdom books of the Anunnaki. I'll be getting into that in just a second. But real quick, I have been very hard at work this week on finishing my new book. I am so excited to share it with you completely for free. You can go to supernaturalblueprint.com. That's supernaturalblueprint.com to get a free ebook copy. You can download it directly to your device, supernaturalblueprint.com. This is a lot of people have been asking me to write a book. I finally took the time to do it. It is what I would call a mini book. It is about 14 pages long. So it's very, very easy to read, very quick read, but it is a very powerful philosophy. It is, in fact, the philosophy I've been teaching on the podcast for the last 2 years. It is what has gotten me to where I am in life today. And every single point in that book is made from an ancient philosophical point of view, from all of the ancient supernatural data that we uncover every single day on the podcast. You don't want to miss it, whether you're a part of my mastermind or you are a member or not. Definitely grab that ebook because it is going to be vitally helpful to you in the coming months and years on planet Earth, especially if you're trying to be a leader of 5D or 5D Earth or whatever you would like to call it. This is going to be a great place to start. You can scan that QR code if you're on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it now. And for you guys over on TikTok and Instagram, you can hit up the link over in my bio, supernaturalblueprint.com. So thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate you guys. Today, we're going to be getting into episode 405, Wisdom Books of the Anunnaki, Ancient Code of Creation. So again, episode 405, guys, we've been cooking lately, a lot of content going out and just really getting it focused in on what I particularly do here and what's important to me and to this community. So thank you guys for being here. As we get into this today, I'm going to be reading from actual texts of antiquity. We're not going to go deep dive into one particular text, but I want to give you guys kind of a smorgasbord overview, a buffet, if you will, of data as we go through this today, because this is going to be really important to you unlocking this understanding of what is this ancient code of creation? Why are the Anunnaki even important to us? And we're going to get into that very deeply today. So if you're not subscribed to the show already, please do. Mikkel, how are you doing? I hope you're having a beautiful day. Carlton, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. William, sorry. Thank you for being here, my friend. Hope you're having a beautiful day. Multiverse Media Space, thanks for joining. Thank you, Nemo. Thank you, Wild Animal. Thank you, Isabella, Ness. Jared, what's up, brother? How are you doing? I hope you're having a beautiful day. Jared, go, go. Let's see. Who else we got? Jesus joined. User 66. Vicky Trueheart, how are you? Vince Duncan, thanks for being here. Y'all are awesome. Thank you guys for joining. Very, very glad to be back. It's been a very tough week emotionally. Very, very tough week. And I'm going to sit here in my power today and do my best to serve this community. By the way, if you're here with a stupid comment, get the F out of here. I am so sorry. I do not have time or patience for that today. I've been through too much this week and I've watched other people go through too much. If you're here to be stupid, go somewhere else. Much love and respect, but please respect people in the comments and in the community here that actually want to be here. So with that said, 444 on the time here, truth train for confirmation. We're diving right in. We're going to start with the Enuma Elish today, or Enuma Elis, however you would like to pronounce it. Holly, thank you so much. Holly says, much love. The Enuma Elish, Creation and Balance. This is the very first excerpt we're going to talk about here. Enuma Elish is one of the core texts that we derive the idea and terminology of Anunnaki from. And the Enuma Elish comes from the first line, "When on high." This is, "When on high, the heaven had not been named. Firm ground below had not been called by name, not by primordial Apsu, their begetter, or Mumu Tiamat, she who bore them all, their waters, commingly as a single body." Commingling as a single body. Okay, so the philosophy behind this, if you're to take this literally, it sounds like the world was created with water by water. If you're to take it esoterically, which I take everything esoterically until I look at the later Anunnaki more as ancient astronauts. But the Enuma Elish for me, especially this beginning part, is about salt water and fresh water. It's about the substratum to receive life and the energy to produce it. Because if you understand salt water, you know there's electrolytes in it. Electrolytes have actual electrocharges in them. And that can create, you know, the spark of life, basically. And so for me, it's about having a womb of fresh water for the salt water or the energetic substratum to actually penetrate into and bear life, if you will. So very interesting concept. You may refer to this also as alchemy. A lot of people refer to it as alchemy or spiritual alchemy. The yin and the yang, the left and the right, the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And that's really how I interpret, especially this first line of the Enuma Elish, is the spiritual alchemy before the Anunnaki land on our planet and begin unfolding their plans, which clearly didn't always have the best outcome in mind if you read this. So I am not familiar with those teachings, John. My apologies. I'm more about, you know, teachings of antiquity. Like, I want to look at the Enuma Elish, not what someone's commentary is. I'm really interested in my commentary, and I'm interested in the actual source text. I don't listen to a lot of commentary beyond, like, actual gurus that I consider 444 on the time now, on the actual clock today for confirmation. Like Yogananda. I love Yogananda. I love reading, like, scholarly work, even Zachariah Sitchin, stuff like that. Like, I like to derive from what I consider to be more source texts. Not that Zachariah Sitchin is source text, but he's not, like, a modern guru or anything like that. So. You know, and he's passed away at this point. So, I really, again, I enjoy exploring things from the ancient wisdom first and foremost, and then building upon that. So Ernesto says blessings. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm not, and again, I'm not big on, you know, other people's opinions of this. No offense, Carlton, but there's a reason I have my own podcast, because I have my own opinions and those didn't genuinely line up with anybody else's. So that's why I started my own thing, because there's just very few people talking about what I am and what we're doing here in this community. What's up, Teresa? How are you doing? Charles says, good job, bro. Thank you so much, my friend. Let's see. Tell me about it. Spirit-filled believer says, let's get into it. The Epic of Atrahasis. Divine punishment and consequences. Let man bear the work of the gods. This is where we get in to the later Anunnaki mythology. And we've got the Epic of Atrahasis here, which is essentially the, you know, what we see in like the Book of Genesis. We see a lot of this going on in Book of Genesis, but this was written much, much earlier, even before the Canaanite pantheon of deities. And so we have this idea that Enki is the Lord that is helping Atrahasis escape a flood that his brother Enlil is sending. So Enlil and Enki being the two deities that are essentially in a battle for humanity. One of them wants to unalive humanity. The other one wants to rescue them and preserve them for the beauty that they hold intrinsically within themselves. So the Epic of Atrahasis really gets deep into the battle between these two gods and the idea that Atrahasis even says, you know, Enki and Enlil are constantly fighting. They are constantly disagreeing with each other. And so the idea that they literally created us to work for them, they literally created us to have a unity with them, not by divine prowess and, you know, some sort of yoking ourselves with the divine, but where we literally served them, especially Enlil and Marduk and some of the other Anunnaki deities. They wanted actual barbecue served to them. We literally see stuff like that in the Old Testament. No offense to anybody who's of an Old Testament faith. But again, we see like these literal recipes to serve the gods food or, you know, what we call sacrifices. And then you had to even be removed away from it where you wouldn't see them pick it up and stuff like that. Like they just like were so hands off. Like originally they walked with their creation and everything. And after the fall of man, which really was, you know, Enki, you know, with Adapa or Adamu or Adam, you know, and finally was like, hey, listen, you don't have to take this. You can actually eat of the fruit, which is procreate. You don't have to stay here anymore and you can go do your own thing. You'll be like your God because that's really all he's got on you. Because he was telling them about his brother, basically. So, you know, that's why they were able to escape Eden. And so there's a good book. Maybe I'll write that one day, Escaping Eden or something like that. But very, very interesting stuff there. So, Annie, how are you, my friend? I hope you're having a beautiful day. Bradley says, Emerald tablets resonate. Emerald tablets are not real. They are a channeled work. I mean, they're real in the fact that they're channeled. I do not honor them because they are not from antiquity. They are not, you know, the guy named Doriel channeled them, claimed they were of antiquity, tried to pass them off as antiquity, and then essentially finally came out and was like, hey, actually, they're not, you know, I created them, I channeled them, you know, by spirit walking there or whatever. I like channeled works, but the fact that he wasn't honest about that in the first place bothers me, and therefore I kind of write them off. No offense. I know a lot of people have done extensive work on them as if they are real, as if they are authentic. And for me, they're not authentic if it starts with a lie. So I have an issue with that. So Leanne, how are you doing? I hope you're having a beautiful day. They did not want him to be enlightened so they would be slaves. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I try to reveal this story to people, especially if you're on the deconstruction path. If you grew up in church like I did, deconstruction is very, very difficult. And these texts really help, because once you realize where a lot of that data came from and that it wasn't as cut and dry, oh, it was the high holy God of the universe that did all of this. It was most likely otherworldly beings or off planet deities, extraterrestrials that did all of this stuff. Then we've got a different story, right? Then we've got something different. Multiverse Media says, appreciate you, Cub. Thank you for the good that you do. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Raxel says, there's a book called Escaping from Eden by Paul Wallace. Oh, there's already a book. See, I told you that was a good idea for a book. Good. Thanks for sharing that. Charles Price says the Emerald tablets are fake. I mean, I don't like the word fake. Like, I don't like using that word. They're real, but they're not authentic. Somebody channeled them. There's not an actual set of Emerald tablets. Now there is something called the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Thrice Great or Trismegistus. That is real. That is authentic. That is legitimate. That is an actual antique, an antiquity, a piece of history that we can actually look at. Again, not to be confused with the Emerald Tablets. Even on the Joe Rogan podcast, I can't remember who it was talking about it. I think it was Cat Williams, to be honest. He was talking about, you know, these Emerald Tablets and they're, you know, so many hundred thousand years old or whatever. And then Joe Rogan pulls him up. He's reading from the Emerald Tablet of Hermes, not the Emerald Tablets. So just, guys, you got to do your homework. And that's what I'm here for, guys. I am one of the few channels that combines mysticism with actual data to try and figure out the truth that's somewhere in the middle of all of this. And I'm not here to tell you I have the only truth in the world. I'm just here to tell you that you got to do more research. You got to go deeper. You got to get involved with people that actually are doing the work rather than just trying to spit out content. And that's why I show up every day with well-researched content. I'm continuing my education all the time. I'm also continuing my spirituality and my mystic journey. So it's very, very important to align yourself with people like that. If you don't resonate with me, no issue. You're not going to hurt my feelings. There's plenty of other channels out there. But if you do, you know how rare that is, by the way, because I don't have a lot of gurus personally. There's not a lot of people out there that I think take the time to get the correct data and develop the spiritual understanding around it. And so that to me is a very, very, very rare thing, with the exception of a few people. Unfortunately, a lot of them are actually passed away. Yogananda, Ram Dass, a lot of different gurus that are either passed away or very old right now. Those are kind of the people that I tend to listen to. So, all right, let me grab some questions here before I jump on to the next one, which is Enki and the World Order. So this is where it starts to heat up. They create mimetic effects. It's like echoes of thought. Yeah. And I mean, channeling is a very cool thing. Like I said, I don't have an issue with channeling. It's just don't pass it off as an antique when it's a channeled work. You know, that was kind of my biggest issue with all of that. So, esoteric Eric 88 says, makes me wonder, that if the, folklore of Adam's first wife, Lilith, could be a part of the text, that they're just hidden away. Most likely because, even in the Anunnaki mythology, there's multiple Adams and multiple wives of Adam. So there's certainly, you know, the whole original Adam and Eve, they, in the Anunnaki mythology, which is predating the Bible, they tried multiple times to create what they were trying to create and did not have success the first dozens of times. So that idea of another wife of Adam or having multiple partners for Adam is definitely a potentiality because, again, we've kind of cleaned it up as we put it into Genesis, where it was just one man, one woman, when really the ancient mythologies are telling us a much different picture with a bunch of different partners, they're really trying to perfect this genome of the people they wanted to create as workers to perpetuate the human race rather than just letting it run wild. That's why some of these deities were getting so angry at what they would call fallen angels, because you had one deity that tried to take over and say, there are no other deities before me. That was Enlil. He didn't want anybody even calling themselves a god or anyone giving alms to anyone besides him. And then anyone that fell out of line and actually had wives or children the natural way, outside of their laboratory, if you will, and their planned genetics, then he literally called them, you know, fallen. He judged them. He wanted to imprison them, all kinds of different things. And we see that in the Book of Enoch too. But the Book of Enoch adopts the ethos and the mythos that they were in the wrong somehow. And I've questioned that narrative from day one when I read Book of Enoch. Why are they fallen? What did they really do wrong? They took, you know, they made families and then they taught those families survival skills, ways to take care of yourself, different things about reading the signs and the seasons, things that you don't particularly need a deity for to go and entrust that with them. They literally gave them the skills to be their own perpetuators on this planet. And to me, that was the right thing to do versus entrap someone into, you know, you're the only one with the knowledge. You're the only one that will send the rain. You're the only one that will ... And we see that all through the Bible, right? Again, no offense to anyone, but my question is, why is humanity not being set free in their consciousness, in their mind, in their hearts? Boy, we got a demon running in here today. I guess we got some blinky lights. I don't know. What are you going to do? Leanne says, is the Adam and Eve books, in the Adam and Eve books? I've not read the Adam and Eve books, Leanne. Where are those found? Actually, I've never even heard of those, in all of what I've looked at. That's a new one for me. So, esoteric Eric says, right. Let's see, what other people do I listen to about this topic? Yeah, Billy Carson. I like Billy Carson, of course. I mean, he's a staple in this kind of area. I listen to Billy Carson. I listen to, I really like Dan McClellan's work. He's very scholarly and not very mystical. I like Billy Carson because he's scholarly and mystical, though some of the data that he has, I am very curious where he's getting it, and I haven't seen, especially around the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, how he's continued to talk about that. And much love and respect to him, for real. But I want to know how he's continued to talk about that when there's been so much data coming out that I've seen that they were channeled, and to continue to call them antiquity just for me raises a bunch of questions. And so, and I realize he wrote a book on it, so maybe it's hard to backtrack on that, but at a certain point it's like, okay, what's the deal with this? So Anuth says Anunnaki were real beings. Yeah, I believe they were, absolutely. That's why I'm talking about them today. So I believe they were ancient astronauts. That's what I personally believe. There are beautiful esoteric representations of this too, if you understand that they represent the carnal self, the self-created, you know, the control systems we erect for ourselves, the agreements we make that are not in alignment with the secrets of heaven, etc. And that, you know, the ego always wants to be God rather than the higher self. And so, of course, there's an esoteric side to that, which I can interpret and bring out any day. But I do like the ancient astronaut theory, and that's kind of the side I'm looking at today. Eckhart Tolle for me is too dry. You know, again, love his work, beautiful work, definitely a staple within the spirituality. I prefer Ram Dass. If I'm going to pick a guru out of kind of that tradition, if you will, and those contemporaries, you know, I would really say Ram Dass is my guy because he's educated but mystical. And that's really what I prefer, is that balance between education and mysticism. You experience it, but you also go to the data. And for me, Eckhart Tolle was more of a thinker than a doer. And that's probably an ignorant statement because I don't know, you know, a lot about his work other than the quotes I see online. And it sounds like he thought deeply about stuff, very much an existentialist, but didn't really like get to like, okay, now what do you do with it? Like, now how do you activate that? How do you actually become something? For me, a lot of what he teaches is about becoming nothing rather than becoming everything you can be. And for me, that's my life path, is how do I help myself and others become everything that we can be, the truth within us, our God and goddess self. That's what I'm interested in, not becoming nothing. Because that's, you know, I've seen a lot of people become nothing and they never come back from it. And they don't actually treat people with love and respect. They kind of have an elitist mentality about spirituality. And for me, that always bred just kind of a weird feeling in me. And so for me, when I become everything and I realize that I am God and you are God and we're connected, then I treat you a lot better because I actually love you and I actually love myself. And so that's really where I, yeah, be here now, Ram Dass. Exactly. Exactly. Multiverse Media. So yes, thank you. And that's a great question. There's also gurus out there for everybody. There's so many good philosophers out there. And so I like to look at all of them and understand all of them as much as I can. But there are some that I resonate with a whole lot more than others, again. So, why don't the Anunnaki come by anymore? And when are they returning, someone asked. So that's a great question. I think there will be a return of the gods. I do not think that is the kingdom of God. I do not think that's what Jesus talked about when he said the kingdom of God. He literally said, Basalia Theos Intos, meaning the kingdom of God is within you. And that's literally what that meant, if you look at the Greek. You know, it wasn't something to come in the sky. It didn't come with signs. I think we're going to see things with signs and coming in the sky. I think we see it even in the book of Revelation, as well as many religious traditions have the return of the gods, the sky deities, the brothers and sisters from the heavens, you know, the celestial cities, all of those things. But again, I don't think any of that has to do with what gurus like Jesus, ascended masters like Jesus, Buddha, and Krishna were talking about. I think they were talking about that kingdom within you, where you literally unite yourself with the divine within you. You have full yoga of the mind, body, and spirit, and you become one with the divine. And that's literally what my new book is about. Please go check it out. Like I said, I'm putting that out there for free for everybody. Supernaturalblueprint.com. It's a very easy read, but it will really, really help you like bring all of this together, from esoteric data to Anunnaki to all the Hindu myths and all of the different things, the message of Jesus, and understand how it correlates to your chakric systems in your body. And I actually wrote this based on a 7 chakra system plus 2. So a 9 chakra system. I did the 7 within your body, and then the soul chakra, and then the earth chakra. Now, these are two that are not very often talked about, but they were ones that I've found to be vital when it came to my life. And so I actually included activities for each of these for you to do, and really start to unlock from the ground up, literally from Mother Earth all the way to the soul, to completely unlock your God mode, your God / goddess mode. Very, very important. Really, really, really need to start doing that, guys. The time is limited. New Earth is coming. We got to wake up. Okay. People, Stephen Cloud needs to wake up. It's time, guys. It's time. If you're trolling on other people, this eclipse is going to be rough for you. Okay. If you're not already coming together in love and light and bringing about New Earth, this eclipse is going to be hell for you. Okay. That's not a promise. It's not a threat. It's nothing like that. I'm just saying this is another shift. 2020 was a shift. We've had some shifts between 2020 and now. You've got to start waking up. Okay. And I am doing my absolute best to put out as much content as possible to help people awake and stay awake. That's why I did this book. So you guys have something to literally take home with you. You can print it off, save it on your phone, your computer, whatever you want. It'll email directly to you. It is very well written. I personally wrote it. This was not some ChatGPT thing. I ran it through grammar check and all of that. So it's not perfect, but I did my best to, you know, make it very understandable. But it did take me a long time to write. It did take me a lot of effort and a lot of life experience to really get all of this down. And I did my best to organize everything into a manner that you can understand and begin to get what all of these people are talking about, because it all has to do with you. Literally all has to do with you. And there's a few things, once you go through this chakra system and you begin to activate them and open them up, that you can do to alchemize all of that. And that's why my logo is a prism. If you see the logo on the screen, or you go to my website and you see the logo, you'll understand that that represents the reality we live in. It's the three-sided reality and the different things we can engage in, which include knowledge, community, and mentorship. And that is literally the three-sided prism that I personally activate in my life with all of these things, so that I stay on my path. That's why I created the mastermind community. That's why we have calls on Saturday. That's why we co-mentor each other. That's why I have one of the largest knowledge bases of any spiritual creator out there, all available in my academy, all as a part of my membership. So, but it starts with the blueprint. Don't do anything before you get the blueprint. Get the blueprint, read through it. That's the only way you can even get an invite now to the mastermind. So if you want to join the mastermind, you need to get the blueprint, supernaturalblueprint.com. Do that, and then you're going to get an invite to the mastermind. And if you resonate, it's a great fit for you. If not, no worries at all. Like I said, there's plenty of stuff out there. But if you resonate, take action. Because I'm here to help, and I'm going to keep being here to help, and I'm going to keep showing up for free online, and I'm going to keep giving out free books, and I'm going to keep showing up. But that requires you show up at a certain point. And I've been doing this for a long time. This is episode 405, guys. And I'll be doing this when it's episode 805. I'll be doing this when it's episode 8005. I don't care. I'm going to keep going. but I want to start seeing people activate. I can't do this alone. We got to do this together. Laura, what is up, my friend? Laura, go grab the ebook, by the way. Even if you're a part, Laura's already in the mastermind. This book's for people even in the mastermind. Go get the ebook because it goes with the mastermind. We're going to be talking about it in the mastermind. There's a course coming to the mastermind that's based on this book. So be sure and get the book so you have a place to start. Like I said, completely free, supernaturalblueprint.com, supernaturalblueprint.com. Super easy to remember, supernaturalblueprint.com. That's going to take you right there. And then once you do that, you'll get an invite, if you're not already a member, to join the mastermind. So go check it out. Thank you, guys. I'm going to keep reading here. Cheryl says, I was just told I needed to read a book. I asked what book and I had no clue. This book. There you go, Cheryl. Let me know. You guys also let me know what you think of it. And if you do join the mastermind, reach out to me personally. Let me know what you loved about the book and let me know what you want to go deeper on. I will connect you with the courses that are included in the mastermind, the right courses for you, as well as the right co-mentors for you. Ladies, we have a ton of ladies in there already. Guys, we got a ton of guys in there too. If you're looking for either of those energies, we've got other mentors in there. You're going to become a mentor too. This is literally a mastermind for 5D leadership. If you are a leader of New Earth, that's what I've designed this for. And I believe that I am, I believe you are, I believe every single person in our mastermind currently is. We have several hundred people in there. We do have a cap of 1,000 members, so it will not grow over 1,000. So I will always be able to personally communicate with you without getting lost in the fold. That's why I'm going to cap it. So when you get your invite, it is time sensitive, so activate it as quick as possible so you don't lose it. Enki and the World Order. This is where it gets interesting here. So this is a really interesting text, including Lord Enki. And I love Enki. You know, he's a very interesting character. Not always like the best person, for real, but very interesting. So Teresa says, glitchy phone today, but I got back. What did I miss? Right now, a lot of trolls over on TikTok today. You know, people just, they won't wake up. They won't wake up. God love them, right? They literally feel like it's a good use of time to troll on other people rather than going out and making a way for themselves. I don't understand that at all. I'd rather show up here and actually create than go troll on anybody, because that doesn't do anything. And that, guys, that's the mindset I'm talking about here. You know, if you know, you know, you know. Everybody knows, you know, somebody that wants to troll on someone else. And if you're doing that, you've got to get your mind right. And I understand where you're at. Like, you're not well. I get that. I've been there. I've been in that place where I felt like it was my job to attack other people because they didn't believe what I believed. And it's a sad place to be. And I just want you to know you're not alone. You're welcome here. I don't kick anybody out unless you're just being really disruptive or blowing up the comments, but it's time to get our minds right, guys. Find peace and find balance. Understand there's other people out there that will love you, that will accept you. That includes me and this community. So when we get into Enki and the World Order, talking about organization and roles. So here's where Enki is talking about his greatness. He says, I am Enki, father of the gods. Enki, lord of heaven and earth. I am the king. I am the father. I am the one whose word endures. I am the king. I am the father. I am the one whose word endures. And so that sounds oddly familiar to God in the Old Testament. Now, there are other places where Enlil says stuff, who is his brother, that are direct quotes that we see in the Bible. Again, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Clearly, the Sumerian, Babylonian, Akkadian mythologies came first. They're some of our oldest data out there as far as of antiquity. And again, it's just very clear that they came, and then we got the biblical canon that we have now, including the book of Genesis. Now, I am not saying the book of Genesis was stolen. I am saying that it was adapted. And I'm not even saying appropriated, because appropriation means something different. But it was adapted. These stories were passed down. And when they get adapted and then they get adopted, then they become literally a part of the cultural mythos. And that doesn't make them any less valuable, but it does mean that they ebb and flow and change over time. And that's just how it is, you know. It's like playing the game of telephone when you whisper something to your neighbor, and at the end of the circle, it's a different message entirely, almost, right? Well, that's a lot how these mythologies are passed down. And by the time we get it into the Bible, we, you know, now it's one God, even though the original words are still there to tell us it's multiple gods, yet we turn it into one God, especially under the King James Version and modern Christianity, etc. So you guys know where I'm getting with that. That's how all of this happens. So one of the really interesting things about this particular scripture and line of Enki in the world order is the organization and roles, Enki's greatness, you know, just literally how these gods categorize themselves. They were always in battles. I'm best, you're best. Then we see it with our religions. Then we see it with landlines, you know, different places and holy areas. Then we see it with cities. We see it with world leaders. We see it with constructs. We see it with everything. We start going to other planets. We're going to see it with, you know, other planets. Well, you know, oh, you live on Earth. Oh, well, yeah, you're on the new Mars, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just literally a perpetuation of the archetypical God syndrome, because being a God does not mean going around saying I am the greatest all the time. It means knowing you are. It means having a very healthy sense of self-worth and worthiness, but you don't have to go around telling everybody about it, because that actually starts negating your entire argument for your greatness. If you have to go tell people how wonderful you are and that you keep your word all the time, and that you are, you know, you're the goat, right? Like, you know, how many people have to sit around and say that? You know who the goat is. People say that about someone, not them about themselves, right? Now, there have been a few cases in history we've seen somebody say, I'm the greatest, and they really were, right? But few and far between. There's so many people that say they're the greatest. Doesn't make it true, guys. Doesn't make it true. Including with Enki. Love Enki. But same thing with God in the Old Testament. Same thing with Enlil and Marduk and a lot of these other ancient gods and deities. They were just in a battle. It's just a big old contest of who's who and what's what and who's going to rule the new human experience on planet Earth, on Project Earth, you know, where they were coming down to. So it's very, very interesting when you get deep into this stuff and you understand that, hey, these archetypes, like, we're still doing all of that today, right? Didn't Enki and Enlil fight one another? Oh, absolutely. Huge aerial battle depicted in the Sumerian tablets, as well as we see remnants of that in the Old Testament with the battle for who's the greatest storm god, basically. Who rules heaven and who rules earth? And then Enki gets banished to the Absu, or the saltwater marsh, and essentially founds what we would call Atlantis later on. And then Enlil founds what's called the Akur, or the mountain house city, which essentially to me is the pyramids, right? So that's where a lot of this, you know, we just start crossing our streams of data and we lose a lot of the meaning. Satam is where we get the word Satan from, and the Satam of Eden, you know, was argued back and forth. Is it Enki or Enlil? Who actually rules Eden, depending on which text you read and which commentary you read? So the Nephilim, Satan rules somewhere, I guess. So yeah, the Nephilim again are the hybridization of the god men. Okay, so what the Nephilim are the demigods that you hear in the Greek pantheon. They're going to be the children of the gods outside of Eden in the Sumerian pantheon. So we got to understand that, like, they're not like all bad. They, you know, from a point of view of organizing a cultural society that worships a particular deity, then yeah, sure, you can call them bad. And were there problems that happened from them? Yeah, I'm sure there were. I'm sure things got out of hand, because some of them probably weren't very good and they realized they had more power than others and they were wielding that power. Well, that same mentality started with the gods in the first place. So to blame the Nephilim, like everybody likes to do, you know, especially when in the modern evangelical Christian groups, you know, they get this idea around Book of Enoch that either it's not true or it reveals the Nephilim. And then that's what we're battling against. It's just, again, it's just ignoring a lot of the data to understand where this even came from. So, Lauren, how are you, my friend? Lauren says, "Hey Cub, fascinating breakdown. I think I finally reached a breakthrough with my best friend who's deconstructed, deconstructee in progress." Awesome. Good for you, my friend. What one of your videos or episodes would you recommend for someone who is extremely Old Testament minded, but showing interest and curiosity in these topics? That is a fantastic question. Lauren, reach out to me on our app in the mastermind and I will message you, because I don't want to forget since I'm on a live right now, but message me and I will send you what I think is probably the best one. I've got one in mind. I want to look at it real quick and just make sure. But definitely, definitely reach out to me on our app. You can go to the little message icon at the top or on the bottom if you're on a phone, and just message me directly and I will get that to you very soon. So thank you. That's a great question and good for you, my friend. Amanda says, agree. Awesome, Amanda. Thank you. Holy moly, that's true. Edward says, thank you, my friend. Appreciate that. Made in our image, multiple. Ryan says, yeah, I mean, right there, you have clues in the Bible, made in our image, right? Anu says, humans didn't build the pyramids. There's proof of Nephilim existence with the help of anthology. I'm not sure about that. I don't see actual proof of literal giants on the planet. Most of that stuff, guys, is most of that stuff is to get you to click. You got to understand that. I know there's a lot of theories around that. I don't personally believe there were actual 30-foot giants on our planet. Now, I think there were taller than average people. I think like Goliath, probably around 9 foot tall. Yeah, I do think that we found stuff like that. And I think it's outside the norm enough where we like, you know, oh, it was a mutation or it was a hominid or whatever. That's what I think. Like some of these like Nephilim demigods were very tall, were very strong and really, really aware of that, but maybe also had like the literal technology of the gods. Like they actually were able to pick up that technology or wield it. And so we don't know like really how all that works, but I warn all of you, like look at where you can find data. I know I love talking about all this stuff and I hate to be the channel that talks about supernatural stuff and then tells you something's not true. Because I can't prove it either way. I'm just telling you, just like the Emerald Tablets, do your homework. And I don't mean homework going down the rabbit hole of Bob's blog with all the conspiracy theories. I mean, look at actual documented evidence. If you can find real articles from scholarly websites, even from long ago, before maybe things were pruned as much, you know, that makes sense to me. If you can actually talk to professors and stuff who've experienced this, that makes sense to me. But what doesn't make sense is finding Bob's blog that has a photoshopped or now an AI image of a giant skeleton in the sand. That doesn't make any sense, guys. Like, so just be very aware. Don't buy into like uber conspiracy theories. Try to balance your data and your mysticism. You're going to be a lot happier. You'll be a lot more balanced. You still find a lot of whimsy in the world, but you also know what to do with it at that point. And that's a much better, in my experience, a much better blend of mysticism and data. And I'm a big fan of that. So Esoteric Eric says, wait, so there's no dino riders? Yeah, I know, right? Maybe in the video games, but let's see. Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you, Leanne. I appreciate that. So Edward says, I reckon we appear as giants to other intelligent beings on our planet. So I reckon even small man with massive energetic presence could be considered gigantic. Yeah, exactly. And there's also some textual evidence. And I say textual just being within the Anunnaki mythos that the original Adam or Adamu, that race was small. And that what happened, which is all of us now, you know, I'm 6'4", and so that would mean like my descendant was Nephilim descendant, and everybody has a little mixed in now because they quit being able to control the genetic prowess of the people they were creating. And now you end up in the great falling away where people realize they're just like the gods that created them, right? My light finally went off. It flickered and died eventually. So But, you know, that, so that's where I'm like, you know, I think that there's maybe something to the fact that, you know, really humans were originally supposed to be workers in the mine. They were supposed to be subservient to the gods. And then the genome got out of hand because Anki and other gods were just interbreeding naturally with whoever they liked. And it perpetuated, you know, a genetic mutation on the planet that is not controlled and is out of hand at this point, because we have how many different races of people? And I say out of hand in a good way, by the way. Like, I think it's beautiful that we have so many different types of cultures and populations on this planet. And I think that's a healthy mix, and I think it's beautiful. But at the same time, I think that if you look at the original intent of a lot of these documents, and like the Anunnaki mythology, they wanted a very specific bloodline to worship them and to be their people. And they were all arguing about which line that would be. And then the interbreeding started and they lost complete control of it. And then there were literal crusades by those gods and people to go and wipe out other gods and people that continued this entire narrative throughout history. And here we are, guys. I mean, here we are. So my understanding of the word Nephilim is hybrid species. Yeah, absolutely. Unique Queen says, hi again. How are you, my friend? It's going to be hard to remain objective on this. It's so awesome. I'm 6'4", too. Edward says, yeah, absolutely, man. No, and I get it. I get it. You know, my wife is definitely not tall. She's definitely short. She is a very short German woman. I'm a very tall German man. So clearly there's different genetics there. However, you know, again, I think that, it has less to do with, it doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin. It has more to do with, again, what the purpose was, why they were breeding people. I mean, we were the original AI bots. If you think about it, they created biologic AI that they hoped would stay asleep and not become sentient and just do what they were told. That's why I talk about waking up. That's why I talk about mastering the matrix. That's why I talk about it's all a simulation, because in the way I view it, the Anunnaki are merely masters of the simulation. They created humans, which they thought were robots in the system. And now we're aware and we have the very light of God within us, because everything with life and self-awareness has direct God contact and unity with the Father and Mother, just like Jesus talked about. So that's what I, again, that's a big part of what I teach, is that gnosis and that awakening. So good to be here live. Laura says, thank you so much, Laura. Yeah, there was a battle in heaven. God cast out angels. And then they took women and had men of great. Yes, that is according to the Hebrew mythos. However, there's a Canaanite mythos where that very same God did the very same thing that came before what we have in the Old Testament. So, and it's not even going back as far as the Anunnaki pantheon. So you have to understand the progression of all of this, and to take one verse and say, this is it, is not, again, it's not wise. And you need to understand the full breadth of these mythologies. And I say mythologies because nobody can prove that they were historically accurate. I'm not here to do that either. I like to look at them as the potentiality of why humanity is here. And what does that mean esoterically to our mind, our body, and our spirit? And how do we break those bonds so that we can regain our sovereignty as divine beings, which I believe we fully are. We have rights as children of the Anunnaki, and we have inheritance as divine light beings, which they didn't count on happening when they created us. So, rinsed and repeated, Teresa says, exactly. Esoteric Eric says, yeah, what's up with our quote-unquote junk DNA? Certainly there are answers hidden in that stuff. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like there's something left behind from what they were doing. It's like having a bug in a computer code that has the signature of the programmer, right? And so that's how I really you know, break all of this down. Hassan says, tuning in from Trinidad, peace and blessings. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Let's see. Anunnaki are fallen. Okay, let's see. And they bring, yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately, Jeremy, what a lot of that has done is bred a lot of religious traditions and, you know, judgment and lines being drawn and everything. And again, much respect to all the different religious traditions, but where I draw the line is where you're hurting other people or other living beings on this planet because, you know, somehow you think that will save you or whatever. And so for me, that is not something I participate in whatsoever. So, okay. Let's see. Can I find the ebook through your app, Laura? No, you got to go to the new website. It is supernaturalblueprint.com. Supernaturalblueprint.com. It is not on our app. It is a standalone offering, but I do want everybody in our community to have it. So, and when you do that, you actually get on a separate mailing list for me. So that's a good thing too. Even if you're in the community, that's where you'll get different notifications for other events and stuff later on. So anyway, thank you, Laura. Appreciate that. Let's see. Okay. I got a couple more here. The Epic of Gilgamesh. This is a good one. Morality and acceptance. And this is one of the things reminded by the gods here. And we know this is not true, right? Because like every ascended master in history has promised us eternal life and transcendence and unity with the divine. We know you can't create or destroy energy, based on laws of science. However, in Epic of Gilgamesh, you know, one of these deities is saying that only the gods are eternal. The life of man is short-lived. Only the gods are eternal. The life of man is short-lived. I don't know. I mean, that's, for me, what a depressing statement, right? But again, we know our energy is eternal. Like, you know, even the ancient Vedic sciences, talk about, you know, metaphysics and the soul and the eternal nature of humanity. And Krishna says there is no time, past, present, or future, where you have not or will not exist. In fact, all beings with life have and will exist. And so for me, I think that's beautiful. For me, I think that, you know, Epic of Gilgamesh is another reminder that these Anunnaki, because the Epic of Gilgamesh falls under Anunnaki mythology. It's one of the oldest stories we have on the planet, deals with the flood, and then you've got Gilgamesh and you've got giants in it and all kinds of stuff, right? And it's very highly mythological. You know, there's a demoness that comes and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's fascinating. So, but again, the statement here, I have to challenge it. I have to question it because I believe and I know and I feel that I'm eternal. I believe you are too. Maybe that's because I've woken up completely. Maybe the esoteric representation of this is that the life of flesh is short-lived. But only those who have God realization are eternal. You know, I can definitely tweak it to meet that philosophical understanding, those with eyes to see and ears to hear, right? So again, to take any line out of any of these at face value isn't very profitable at the end of the day. That's why we have to get to have like a bigger mindset. Michael, yeah, absolutely. I haven't watched a lot of anime, but enough to know what you're talking about. Let's see. We are eternal either way. You either go to heaven or hell. That's it. LS343 says, so there's no data for that whatsoever, other than when you get into like church teachings. And I'm talking about like Paul, like even Peter. Then you have some Old Testament kind of like loose representation of that. But all of that heaven and hell imagery is an amalgamation of all the data together. There's no one philosophy teaching heaven and hell whatsoever. Jesus talked about being thrown into Gehenna where they burn trash, but he didn't actually allude to like a spiritual hell for all eternity necessarily, rather than he was referencing back, I believe, the old traditions of, you know, the soul being punished and the fallen angels and all of this stuff, right? And so I think what he was really trying to say is like, hey, if you're going to take this stuff literally, why don't you just cut out your eye? Isn't that better than just being thrown out into hell? You know, that's what I think he was trying to say. And he's like, why are you taking it literally? That's what I think he was trying to say. I can't tell you for sure, but for me, the way I interpret it, that makes a lot more sense. So Let's see. Where's a good place to start to learn into the Anunnaki? A lot of the verses I shared today, just their counterpart texts. The Enuma Elish is the number one that I suggest. The Epic of Atrahasis is another great one. Enki and the World Order. Those are like the three that I would really tell you to look at. And then the Anunnaki and Gnostic and ancient mystic traditions are all represented and talked about in my ebook. So if you want to go like deeper on all of those as a whole, go to supernaturalblueprint.com or scan that. It's completely free. You can download it and work through that. And it's going to give you references to several different texts and quotes and just kind of this overall philosophy that I'm talking about. So you can go ahead and take notes, go deeper on stuff. And really the point of this blueprint is to help you unlock belief systems in you, anything that's holding you back, help you understand your own metaphysical body through your chakra systems and your light body, and help you begin that path of ascension in your own journey. Not the one I tell you you need, but the one that is authentic to you so that you can step into that next level and start being a leader of new earth. Because I literally believe we're vibrating higher into a new earth. That's why I say, well, you know, a lot of people talk about judgment day coming. Judgment is on the low vibrations. It's on people that are not, they're not serving at their highest level of love and light for humanity. That's why Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth. That's the peaceful warriors, the aware, the awake. There has to be earth left to inherit. It can't be destroyed. It can't be ruined. We have to have something to inherit. So I do believe new earth is about people stepping forward and saying, I'm done. I'm done with my own belief systems. I'm done with the rest of them out there. And I want to develop my own understanding that I can actually help people and be a leader as we shift. Because mommy, daddy might need some help. They might be freaking out. Brother, sister, uncle, aunt, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, might be freaking out and they don't know what's going on. And you better be ready to step up and lead. And I'm telling you guys, like, this is last call, y'all. I don't know how long we have left until this next big vibratory event on our planet, but I do think it's coming very soon. I do think the eclipse on the 8th is a huge, you know, milestone in that. And I hope more people get activated. And I'll keep giving away the book after that too. I may even put it in print. But really, really activate. Now is your time. Now is your time to activate. Don't wait, activate. Okay. Remember that. Don't wait, activate. And I made it as simple as possible in a super simple, foolproof URL, supernaturalblueprint.com. That's actually going to forward you to my website, to a back end page where you can download that. But supernaturalblueprint.com, super easy to remember. Don't miss it. Even if you're in my community, get it, get the document, work through it. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what I do talk about. That's literally what every episode of my courses talk about. I just put this in one nice package with an overall philosophy that I teach, preach, and practice every single day of my life, activating 9 chakra systems, not 7, 9. Again, you have the earth chakra and the soul chakra added, which I personally prefer. So, what's up, Dreamstar? How are you? Good to see you too. It's been, let's just say it's been a hell of a week. It's been rough, but I'm here. Even with all the trolls, I'm here. And I'm glad to be here. And I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm going to keep showing up and play my part, do my duty to our community, to this world, and make sure that I'm here every single day as much as I can be. To help raise that collective vibration of humanity. There's the Code of Hammurabi, which is talking about moral values and ethics in this particular part. It says, if a man destroys the eye of another man, they shall destroy his eye. If one breaks a man's bone, they shall break his bone. If one destroys the eye of a free man or breaks the bone of a free man, he shall pay 1 gold mina. Now, this is oddly similar, ridiculously the same thing, in my opinion, as what we see in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye. Now, remember, Jesus said, you have heard an eye for an eye, but I tell you to turn the other cheek, yada, 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 so on and so forth. Remember, Jesus was never, in my opinion, corroborating the Old Testament. He was always challenging and updating the agreement that had been made and giving you a reason why, and giving you the extreme version of why, you know, again, like literally, like, isn't it better to gouge out your eye than be thrown into Gehenna? Like, I think a lot of what he said was like in a facetious tone, like in a, you know, like, are you getting what I'm saying? Like, how, I mean, you take this to the extreme, this is where it's at. And so that's honestly, you know, how I interpret Jesus myself. So you may have a different interpretation. Then we have the descent of Inanna, and this is the cycles of life and rebirth. Again, these are all Anunnaki mythologies. All of these you can read. They're great texts to get into. Let me get a drink there. The descent of Inanna, cycles of life and rebirth. From the great above, she opened her ear to the great below. As above, so below. You get that philosophy there. From the great above, the goddess opened her ear to the great below. From the great above, Inanna opened her ear to the great below. In case you didn't get it, it says it three times. My lady abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. Inanna abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. So now this is where we get the idea of the underworld from too. And remember, this mythology is then literally pulled into Hebrew mythology and then Christian mythology and then everything, so on and so forth. So we have to understand where all of this came from, guys. And understanding that a lot of these things too may have been taught as esoteric data. Some of them clearly look like, if they're literal, then it's clearly like ancient astronauts doing all of this. But some of them, just like this, is about when you realize that you're a god and a goddess, you have to descend into the lower parts to then go and clean house there, to then go and take care of that. Go to your root, go back to the earth and learn from her and rebuild yourself completely and wholly. Once you have the god realization, it's more power, more fuel to go in and cultivate yourself and find yourself approved, okay? Find yourself approved. Nobody else. You shouldn't care what anybody else. Oh, you're a good person. You're approved. You're definitely going to heaven. Oh, you're so smart, and I don't care. You shouldn't care either. Find yourself approved and continue to work that chakra system, because that is what you got, guys, okay? Everything I teach deals with that. And this isn't built on, you know, one philosophy from the East. It's the concept of the chakras that I've adapted for my purposes in the way I understand them. And whether you resonate with them or not is totally your decision. But I did make them as universal as possible so that everybody can understand what it looks like. Like when you get into my supernatural blueprint, you'll see that the throat chakra is all about communication. It's all about the skills of communication and what happens when we communicate poorly and what happens when we perfect our communication and what is overflowing from our heart chakra. As Jesus says, everything that comes out of your mouth is literally the overflow of your heart. And so we got to like rework and begin to descend down as we have that God realization, lest that God becomes some storm God that rains judgment and wrath on others, lest we actually repeat the same patterns that we see here. So do you see how this goes from, it can be literal, it can be esoteric, it can be allegorical. For me, it's almost all of them at certain points. And there's no wrong way to look at this unless you're only looking at it one way. And for me, that is the wrong way, because then it is a limited perspective. And I have a beautiful prism as my logo, as you see here. That means to me there's three sides to every story. There's the literal, the allegorical, and then the esoteric. And so allegory means, you know, that this is like this. Literal means this is what happened. And esoteric means, and to take both of those and alchemize them into what it means for me, to the hidden message behind all things. So Isis, Asherah all descended into the underworld too. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and there's so many different like connections to these, and we see all these other mythologies born out of these Anunnaki mythologies, and they sound goofy until you like really look at it and you go, this is an actual ancient document that talks about this. And why have I never heard this? Why does this sound just like what God in the Old Testament says in Enki in the world order? And why does this just the same thing with the eye for an eye in the Old Testament. Like, where did we miss this in school is what I want to know. So to get to the final one here, and then I'm going to take questions, is The Lost Book of Enki by Zachariah Sitchin. I included this just because if you're interested in Anunnaki mythology, I highly recommend his work, not because it is gospel truth, but because it represents a man that really researched all of this. He was an expert in Hebrew mythology. He was an expert in reading all of these ancient scriptures. And he put together what he dubbed, and other people like Eric von Daniken dubbed, the ancient astronaut theory. And the idea that these were beings from another planet or another world that came down and created us and created all of our systems and processes. And what we're dealing with is technology and rockets, and even things like the Ark of the Covenant is a resonance device and used as a form of extraterrestrial technology. And I'm not talking little gray aliens. I'm talking things that look just like us, maybe with a few key differences, but are pretty much our mommies and daddies, like our father and mother from another planet or another reality, right? Or another time even, like literal time travelers. We don't know. But some of the stuff talked about in the Old Testament and talked about in these ancient mythologies is just really eerie, of like what you see when you go to Cape Canaveral and watch a rocket launch, right? It's really eerie, like what happens with coming down in fire and smoke and all of this stuff. So for me, I have to take that like as definitely an option. And so Zachariah Sitchin on Divine Creation and Wisdom, this is from The Lost Book of Enki. The fate of Earth, I must indeed quickly consider. The people of Nibiru to Nibiru for gold are attaining. So what he's literally saying here is like, we're going to Earth. We need to consider the fate of Earth because the people of our planet or our reality are mining for gold, and we need to attain gold. Like, they were trying to save their reality, according to Zachariah Sitchin and what I think the texts are trying to say from antiquity. It's very interesting, guys. And this is all important. That's why I build everything I talk about on ancient supernatural wisdom. That's what I talk about every day. That's why we do Anunnaki mythos. We do Hindu mythology. We do Christian mythology, Hebrew mythology, all kinds of stuff here. But I really like the message of Jesus, the Anunnaki. I like to spin kind of back and forth between those, and then like books of Enoch. That's my wheelhouse. It's my expertise. It's what I love talking about. It's what I do all day, every day. Anunnaki truth quests. Yes, absolutely. And that's why, again, I'm dropping the Supernatural Blueprint today. Please, please, please go get it. It is my gift to you. Like, literally, it's a free gift. Go and get it, and you're going to understand much deeper what I talk about and teach, because it's going to give you bullet point by bullet point, like, you know, line after line. It's laid out nicely in sections where you can understand, you can take notes. I even left margins, if you print it off, where you can take more notes in it, to literally figure out how to put all this together. How does metaphysics match up with Anunnaki? How did the Anunnaki match up with the message of Jesus? I got a little bit of everything in there. And by the end of it, at the very least, you're going to start to understand the connection and how you can begin to connect all of these things in a very tangible way in your life. Because literally, we got to have more New Earth leaders. We got to have more people stepping into 5D leadership. And that's what I'm here for, to spark as many people that resonate. And if you resonate beyond the blueprint and you are, and you receive an invite, please consider joining the mastermind. The mastermind is, if you resonate with what I talk about in that book, you are a perfect fit for our mastermind, because we have Zoom calls every Saturday. We literally have an off social community for everybody to engage in. You're going to get direct chat with me, plus hundreds and hundreds of training videos going very deep on all of these subjects, including, I've got entrepreneurship videos in there from a spiritual perspective, because that's part of being a New Earth leader. And so the three parts of what our mastermind are about mentorship and having access to other mentors, including being a mentor, having access to knowledge, and a knowledge base that's not social media, a knowledge base that's not television or streaming networks, something that actually helps feed your curiosity for your soul. And then ultimately community to just engage back and forth and have a place to keep that stream of consciousness so you stay on your path and you don't like get off track or fall in with like, oh, this is the one way, oh, this guy's teaching this or this girl's teaching that. Because again, I'm not there to be your guru. I want to connect you with other co-mentors to let you bloom and blossom on your own and do everything I can to encourage that without giving you some dogmatic way. Too many people are doing that under the guise of spirituality, and that is not my intent here. So Bob Lazar says there's classified documents about the birth of Jesus. I already know it exists. Anunnaki Truth Quest says that would be fascinating to check out. I would love to check that out. Laura says, I'm going to tell my mom to read your book too. I've been working on her. Good for you, Laura. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me know what you think of the book. Like I said, I've been working on it for a while. I didn't say anything, but I was really, really pushed to get it done this week and get it out. And so I hope you guys love it. I read through it several times this afternoon just to make sure it was what I wanted to put out there. And it's certainly not perfect, but I think it gets the point across and it really, really should help activate a lot of people that are like, just you're like right there and you're like, I need to understand the connections. I got to activate. I need to wake up. I need to stay awake. I really believe this will help you get there. So that's why I dropped it today, because it's time. The energy of this planet's heating up. I don't know what's going on. I don't pretend to know, but I know that I'm going to be here to harness every bit of these light codes coming in, every bit of this ascension protocol. And I want you to as well. 11:11 on the clock right now on the timer. Wow. Weird. I don't know why it keeps having the same numbers when I keep looking at it. That's so cool. All right. So questions, comments, prayer concerns. What do you guys got for me? Let's drop them. A lot of questions over here. Okay. Let's see. How do I find it? Michael says, the book is at supernaturalblueprint.com. Super easy. Supernaturalblueprint.com. All one word. Easy mode, or you can scan that QR code right there. I even put the URL on the screen at the bottom there. Supernaturalblueprint.com. Kenny says, wow, 405 episodes. Face melt alert, man. Rock on. Thank you, brother. Let's see. Somebody says the devil is the master of confusion. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Sure, man. Absolutely. If you want to believe that, that's good for you. I love Jesus. Absolutely. But, you got to understand yogic philosophy, which you are going to learn through the supernatural blueprint. That's a big part of what you learn in there, and understanding the I am statements that Jesus had and how you can have them too and adopt that ethos personally, rather than, you know, trying to understand it as, you know, because if I sit here and tell you I am the way, the truth, and the life, if somebody's like, hey, how do I find life and truth and what's the way? And I'm like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they're like, it's Cub. Oh my God, it's Cub. Did you know he's the Son of God? Are you the Son of God? Who do you say I am? I say to you, he is. He's the Son of God. He speaks with authority. And I'm telling you, I'm a son of God. I'm telling you, I'm the son of man because you are the son of man, because you are humanity. It would be like me saying humanity must suffer many things before it is risen up next to the Father. Like, do you see what I'm doing there? That's esoteric yogic philosophy from the first person I am statements. That's what Jesus was doing, I believe, rather than the I'm son of God rhetoric. Does that make sense? Anyway, much love, my friend. I literally don't care what you guys believe. I'm here for the people that want to wake up, the people that want to challenge the status quo, deconstruct, and actually dig into authentic spirituality and quit playing the card that they're dealt from everybody else's point of view, including the Bible. Like, it's time to get deep and have these experiences and get intimate with the supernatural so that you understand what Jesus was saying. Because you don't understand that sitting in church. You don't understand that reading your Bible. You don't understand that with the Holy Spirit that everybody claims. Why is it that millions of people claim the Holy Spirit? None of them agree with each other. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit doesn't disagree with itself. Jesus came to reconcile us, like, you know, all together with him in love. That's the whole message. Dreamstar says, amen, amen, my friend. Absolutely, absolutely. Kelso says, I like truth, but it's annoying now. Well, I understand that. It can definitely be annoying. Absolutely. Let's see. Any science we think we understand doesn't scratch the surface, Edward says. I mean, yeah, absolutely. We are so far behind where these beings are. I mean, they could have been millions of years advanced from us. They could have been the architects of the simulation we're in, for all we know. They could just be really, really advanced players in the simulation. That's the theory I subscribe to. But Nessa says, thank you for making these videos. They are truly appreciated and inspiring. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate that. Jesus is King says, Jesus is the only way. That sounds a bit biased, but yeah, I understand. Trevor says, I just finished reading The Voyagers, Secrets of Amenti by Anna Hayes Moore. Transcription of the channeling event with an extraterrestrial higher dimensional being. Any thoughts on that text? I haven't personally read it. I do love channeled works, and I love when they are honest about them being channeled works. Like I said, unlike the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, which were channeled and then later found out, unfortunately, we have to deal with stuff like that in this reality. But I do really like channeled works, as long as they're denoted as that, because to me, they're a separate type of literature than documents of antiquity. Now, there are a lot of documents of antiquity that are channeled works, like Book of Revelation. There are some other works besides Revelation, but Book of Revelation is clearly a channeled work. Even says, I, John, received a vision from God. You know, I mean, it's like he literally is honest about that, right? Honesty. Honestly, just say so. Yeah, exactly. Like, why not just be like, just come out and say it. This is channeled. I was in a vibration and I received this message. I heard a voice and received this, whatever it is. Like, and then everybody claims, you know, this is what's funny to me. Everybody that channels claims this is from source. It's all from source, you know, really, you know, maybe it's from a particular vibration you were in. Maybe you were in a particularly, loving vibration. Maybe you were in a powerful vibration. Maybe you were in a aware vibration. Maybe you were in pain. Maybe you were in pleasure. Maybe you were in, those are all deities that can be channeled, or what we call arcs or angles of light. They can be channeled as intelligence. And what happens when we introduce chaos into that, that gets disrupted, and we can create what's called a daemon, which is an unused or unfiltered and created energy that just bounces around and wants to interrupt a lot of different chakra systems. Those are like automatically created when you do something you know is wrong, you feel guilty about it, and you do it anyway. That's when we create daemons, because we're just disrupting our own agreements and literally creating an unused energy in us that doesn't have anywhere to go. We can't heal it. It just ends up released into the atmosphere. Can I prove any of that? Absolutely not. Have I experienced it? Absolutely. Authenticity over truth. Yeah. Thank you, Laura. Thank you. I mean, I'd rather be real than right. Authenticity over truth. Like, I'm not looking for the truth. I'm looking for my truth, because my truth is all that matters. Your truth is all that matters. If there's any core truth of our reality, it's that nothing is real and we are all connected, because it's all one source stream. It's all one energy. And then it's hit by the prism of our reality and split into all these different colors and beautiful experiences, because we're all God experiencing itself, because we are part of the source already. Our soul is part of the super soul. And that's literally how I look at life. So again, another reason I have the prism, not a pyramid, nothing to do with Freemasonry or anything like that. No offense against that, but I'm not a part of any of those. Guys, I'm way too abstract to be a part of any secret society. I'm sorry. I'm just an abstract person, and I have to experience things and feel it out for myself. I don't care what book it's in, even the Bible. I'm going to question it. I'm going to find my own way. I'm going to find my own understanding. Maybe it's harder. Maybe it's longer, a longer way around or whatever. But for me, it is the narrow path, because it's the only way where I can actually attest to it, because I've experienced it. So that's just where I go with that. So I have no idea what that is, Greg. I'm sorry. Y'all know more than I do. I mean, again, I vibe on, kind of like my realm here. And I've never heard of that. So, Michael says Yaldabaoth or the Demiurge stole light from Sophia. Yeah, that's one mythology. I've done, I don't know, we did a dozen videos about that recently. We went through the entire Secret Book of John, went deep on Yaldabaoth. But again, I don't choose to view this reality as a fallen realm. I choose to view it as a game. And any of the adversaries in the game are just that. They're part of the game and they're meant to give you texture and excitement and the sense of danger or whatever within the simulation. And if you start to look at the simulation as that, a simulation, you can start playing your character fully and fully and show up as the fool, which I've done many times. But you can start playing your character fully and have a lot more fun with it and quit being so worried about everything, you know, all of this heaven and hell and stuff, and just actually play the game and have fun and fully embody the character that you choose. And for me, that's the most beautiful thing that can come out of any of this for me. So Greg says it's the belief that reality doesn't exist outside of your own consciousness. I mean, yes and no. That one's hard for me because there's so many people. And God, I've had conversations with people that are exploring their own consciousness as well. And if I'm making up that many people, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, yes and no. That's why I believe this is a simulation, but I believe that one being, I believe I am you. I believe there is one person playing this simulation, playing the bad guy and the good guys. Like we're playing against ourselves all the time. We are everything because we are one. And when I say we are one, I don't mean we are one as in all together one. I mean, we are Christ. Like we are the son, the daughter of God, period. Like, and that's actually kind of the premise of things like A Course in Miracles and stuff, which I like, but again, I take, you know, a little bit of everything, the whole buffet of consciousness and spirituality here and try to put it in my own blender, if you will, in a way that I can understand it. Cause it's the only way I can teach it. If I can't understand it, I can't teach it. So, I hope that makes sense, but, yeah, spirit fighting the flesh. Absolutely. I mean, that's literally, it's still all us. It's still all us, right? LS343 says rather be safe than wrong. Why? What if there's no consequences? What if the game is meant to give you like the sense of danger and it wants to see how brave you are? Are you really the hero? Are you really the hero? You don't play the hero by playing it safe. Let me tell you that, my friend. More power to you. Love you. You do you. But I'm telling you, you don't play the hero by playing it safe. Nothing in my life good has ever come from me playing it safe. Eternal life is forever. Absolutely. But eternal life, you're already living your eternal life now. Quit looking for it to come. Quit hoping, well, oh, this. Lord Krishna says, there is never a time when you have not existed or will not exist. So take heart and play your part. Like literally, why are you worrying about it? Because that fear is sucking so much energy out of you, spiritual energy that you can use to manifest, to create, to bless others, to literally play Christ in this story. So stop giving your power away to fear, my friends. I love you. Exactly. Safe from what? What are you afraid of? You're afraid of hell? You're already creating it. You already create it for other people by telling them they're going to hell. That's what fear is. Fear is the greatest hell. Heaven is the freedom and the enlightenment to be that which we are and to fully embody ourselves authentically. That's the way I describe it. So Anunnaki says, let's see, how many moderators on your live do you have? I actually do not have moderators. The only place I have moderators is in our app, like over on my website in the mastermind community. So I don't actually have moderators on TikTok. If your comments are being removed, it's the algorithm deeming them either conspiratorial or hateful or something like that. So sorry, that's what it does. I can't vouch for TikTok. I just play the game. So Anunnaki Truth Quest, I can see your comments, Dreamstar says. So yeah, so if they're getting removed, it's probably doing that on everybody's live stream. I get a lot of comments from you actually that are hidden and say, do you want to accept these? So I don't know why. So you might be in the shadow realm of TikTok right now. You never know. So we all spawn from the same frequency, correct? The subconscious minds also all hover close to the same spectrum of primal thoughts, which is easy to manipulate and keep you creatures docile. Thank you, CJ, the highly ascended master. So good to see that we have ascended masters in here. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Most of us are here anyways, Teresa says. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Thank you, Teresa. Let's see. Being wrong is the only way I feel sure I've learned anything. Daniel Kamen. Great quote, by the way. Great quote. I love that. I love that. And very true in my experience. So, let's see. Flower Power says, should I go out in the sun on the eclipse day? I can't tell you what you should do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going out to my local state park. I'm going to spend the day down there. I'm going to take a picnic. I'm going to meditate in my special place down there. May even take my dogs and walk my dogs. And I'm going to enjoy the heck out of the eclipse and soak up every message that our universe has for me. That's what I'm going to do. So I can't tell you what you have to do or what you should do. You should do what you resonate with. You should do what you feel called to do. You shouldn't do what Cub says. You should go download my book before the eclipse. Like literally, I felt so pushed to do this. So pushed. Please go get it. Supernaturalblueprint.com. It's totally free. Like, it's free. Go download it. I really believe that the eclipse day is going to be a huge shift. And I want you to know, if you have ever watched my show, I want you to know everything in that book. Okay. I didn't put it in there for fun. I didn't put it in there, as sales copy. I didn't put it in there as, just something to fill up your time. I put it in there because it's a deep level understanding of who I am, who you are, what we're here for, how to activate all of your chakras, including the one above and the one below, the earth chakra and the soul chakra. I added two to the seven chakra system. How do you intertwine and begin to understand and interpret all of these ancient knowledges from the Anunnaki to the message of Jesus to Gnostic scripture to Book of Enoch? I've got quotes from all of them interwoven into this system. And what are the specific actions that you can do around all of these systems within your metaphysical body to activate them and actually unlock them and tap into them? Because I want you to achieve God mode. I want all of our community to achieve God mode. I am tired of the same crappy problems in my life. I want bigger problems. I want you to have bigger problems. I want you to go, it's time. I'm going to step into my God mode. Let's go. Tommy says, can I join you in the canyon? Dude, absolutely. Anybody can. Absolutely. More than welcome to. Anybody that's here in Amarillo would love to have you. Ben says, I'm not lifted enough for this. Dude, why you think you need that? You can think on this level without any substances. I don't know why y'all think you got to have a substance to open up your third eye, to open up your mind. You don't have to have anything. You have everything built into your body already. Your biological technology is everything, guys. Everything. You can get lifted without touching any substance. I'm telling you guys. Esoteric says, thank you, by the way, for putting a free book out there for us less financially fortunate people. I shall certainly be downloading your book most definitely. Absolutely, my friend. And by the way, I hope you get what I'm saying in it. Wealth is one of the things I talk about. Okay. You have access to that. Okay. I'm all about being honest, but I'm telling you guys, I know people that say they're broke and they are saying that because they want to be, because they just don't, they don't want to participate in it because they don't want to master money. They don't want to master that part of themselves. Okay. If you read my book, you're going to understand that I am telling you and calling you to be wealthy. Okay. I literally am. Everybody in our community needs wealth. Okay. And that doesn't always come in just money, but you're going to need that too. You're going to need some rate of exchange to live on this planet. Jesus said, live in the world and not of the world. He didn't say reject the world. Don't use money. Don't whatever. He said, live in it and not of it. Master it. Do well with it. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Use what you need to. Play the game. Blah, blah, blah. Right? So you need to understand that is a big part of this. Your chakra system, by the way, one of the first chakras is your survival system, your occupation, how you earn money. And if you're broke, it's because that chakra is broke. Okay, I really believe that. And you got to go back to that root chakra and heal it and rebuild it and break some agreements that you have with yourself on money, survival, and wealth. Okay, and that's just one of them. I go through seven other chakras there, plus one above and one below. It's some of the best work I've put out. Please go download it. It's my gift to you guys. I love you. Big Nora says, where is the book? I need it. It is at supernaturalblueprint.com. Supernaturalblueprint.com. All one word. Supernaturalblueprint.com. Linked in my bio, my profile, and the description everywhere. Okay. It's wherever you're watching this or listening. I promise you it's in the description. It's in the bio. It's somewhere around there. Supernaturalblueprint.com. You can always click on my profile, and that is now the URL on all my profiles across the interweb, because that's the number one thing I want to deliver to you. I don't want you to join my mastermind until you read that book. And if you resonate with that book and you love it and you love what I'm doing and you're ready to take the next step, then you can activate the invite to my mastermind, which is time sensitive. So you're going to have a matter of days to activate that and use that invite. That will go away, and then you won't actually be able to get in. So I'm doing a whole new system now. So if you want the invite to the mastermind, you got to download the book. You got to read the book. It'll take you 10 minutes. It's very easy to read. And then you got to activate that invite. And by getting in that, you're making a commitment to yourself and me and our community that you're going to keep going deep on all of this stuff. So that's my commitment to you, your commitment to me. Go check it out. Shane says, I just came across this. Shane, welcome, my friend. Please rewind. I just did an hour and a half on all of this. Great, great episode today. Please rewind. Go check it out. Nick says, please don't listen to this false prophet. Hey, you know, much respect to you, Nick. You think I'm a false prophet. I think I'm doing the Lord's work. We can meet in the middle, right? And we can just say to each their own. So I think that'll be a good, happy medium. Surely you can bring the love of God through to say that everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? Esoteric Eric says, yeah, man, rewind. It's a banger. Dreamstar says, ah, the qualifier. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the deal, guys. I actually do have limited spots in the mastermind now, and I'm not selling it at like the, you know, just the public link like I have been. That's why I'm doing the qualifier, because I just want to make sure it's right for you. I want you to make sure it's right for me to have you in there and serve the community and actually engage in the calls on Saturday, and that you're willing to do the work on yourself and others and actually be a 5D leader along with everybody else in there. Because we've got some really, really valuable members, high quality people, experts in their field, wonderful leaders. We've got people that are just now deconstructing that need support and love and encouragement. And I want to make sure that you are the right person, and you want to make sure you're the right person. So that's why I'm doing the qualifier now. I think it's a great way to do it. I feel really good about it. And it allows me to get more free content in the hands of people that need it when they need it the most, so we can find the right people to join the movement. So I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Rachel says the mastermind isn't for everyone. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. It's not a membership like a streaming membership or a TV membership or a Patreon or a Discord or anything. It's so much more than that. It's live calls every single week with myself and the rest of the community. We do those on Saturday. Plus you get the recordings of those, Plus, we've got the Academy with hundreds and hundreds of videos, dozens of different courses, more being added all the time. Then we have an off-social safe space community where you can talk about spiritual concepts. You can talk about what you're going through in a safe, family-friendly environment where people are there to actually support you. There's also a 24/7 chat room going on, as well as you get direct access to message me and priority inbox. So you've got direct access to me. And then, like I said, the coaching calls are invaluable, where we get to literally go down the rabbit hole each week with a different subject and work on this stuff together. Okay. What's the point of the community? It's so everybody can become spiritually well, so everybody can serve this world and we can raise the vibration of humanity and move into a new reality together and bring about Christ within all of us. That's the whole point of what I do. So if you resonate with that, probably going to be the right place for you. So Holly says, I love our group. Absolutely, Holly. Me too. Thank you, my friend. Faith says, thank you, Cub. I just downloaded your book. You're a blessing. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Hope you love it. Charles says, I don't believe money will exist in the new earth. It may not, but there will be a rate of exchange. There's always going to be a rate of exchange. We live in a 3D world. And until we are out of the 3D world, purely in energy, then we're going to have some sort of rate of exchange. So you better learn what you're worth and how to deliver value to people, because that's still a skill that's going to be worthwhile in the new world, the new earth, whatever you want to call it. Higher consciousness is still going to have some sort of rate of exchange, be it bartering, trading. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying you do need to know how to develop your skill sets in all of your chakras to deliver value to people no matter what. So how long have I been on TikTok? I've been on TikTok since 2020. Seriously though, in the last 2 years, dropping content all the time. So thank you for being here. Also got a huge following over on Facebook, growing on Instagram. Go follow me on Instagram. All of my official links are on my website at CubKuker, CubKuker.com, CubKuker.com. You can go check out all of my official socials. Let's see. I'd love to go back to the barter system, Leanne says. Yeah, absolutely. Trade and barter would be cool, LOL. Yeah, I mean, it's like those people that trade like a penny for, I don't know, like a straw, and then a straw for a drink, and then a drink for like a phone, and then, you know, the trade up or whatever. Kind of an interesting thing. So Charles says, I agree. Let's see. Thank you guys. Lauren says, it's incredible. Been a member for a short time, but it's transformed my whole trajectory. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. Nothing but love and support, no negativity whatsoever that I've seen. And that, yeah, absolutely. That is true. And I'm grateful for that. And that's a big thanks to our moderators, a big thanks to our process of just auditing the right members to be in there and really having that qualifier, making sure it's right for the people before they join it. Originally had started this membership at a really low price point and got people all over the place. And, you know, that was cool. But then I decided, you know, I'm not trying to be a streaming network or a Patreon or anything like that, or a struggling creator. I'm here to actually help raise up spiritual leaders. That's literally what we're doing. That's why the mastermind thing came about. We literally have professional psychics, professional tarot readers, astrologers, Reiki healers, all kinds of stuff in there, guys. We have people that are just now deconstructing and have no idea what they want to do as far as a spiritual talent or gift to society, but they will figure it out. So thank you, Lauren, for sharing that. I really, really appreciate that. Let's see. We got a lot of Jesus people in here today. I love Jesus, but I'm telling you, once you start to understand his message, you know, there's no going back. You don't rattle off those churchy statements all the time. You actually understand his philosophy and you show up as him rather than trying to represent him. There's a big difference. So we keep the wolves away until they come around. Absolutely, Dreamstar. Thank you. So I love you guys. Y'all have a beautiful day. And I will quit answering comments. We got a lot of haters today. Renee, I love you. Thank you for being here, my friend. Even if you think it's evil, you're more than entitled to your opinion. Just know that we love you. And I promise you that we really do love you. That's something very unique about our community here. So no judgment, all love. Thank you for being here. Amanda says, I'm fortunate enough to live where they grow their own fruit and vegetables and cattle. If you are a meat eater, huge support. Oh, that is awesome, Amanda. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you for being here. Esoteric Eric says, take care, man. Thanks for having us. Absolutely. Y'all have a beautiful day. Love only, always. Lauren says, we'll end with that. Thank you. Y'all have a beautiful day. God bless you. Namaste. Go grab your book, supernaturalblueprint.com. You will immediately get it in your email to download. You can go check it out along with your invite to the mastermind community if you resonate. I love you guys. Have a beautiful day. God bless. Peace.